Hello, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, and welcome to Module 11, where we're going to talk more about dating, dating part two, if you will. We're going to give you more information, make sure that you understand what is going on in the world of dating, how you are perceived, and how you can change the way that you're perceiving yourself. You can get enlightenment from this, and then you can apply that in the dating world, because it's not always true that what we think is going on actually is. There's our perception of what's going on. And so I want to kind of take the wool off from your eyes and show you literally face to face in the mirror what's really going on. What are people seeing? Maybe what are you not seeing that you need to pay attention to that can really change the way that you're doing things? You know, one of the most important things about dating is understanding who you are and where you're going. And if your conversation is saying one thing, but you're actually interested in something else, well, there's an incongruency that's really going to work against you. And what I'm talking about here is giving someone the wrong impression, saying to them that you want to have a marriage with them, when actually all you want is a sexual relationship. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a sexual relationship with someone as long as you are of age and they're of age, but you need to make sure that you're conveying what your actual intentions are. When we have truth in our conversation, we have so much power. Some people wonder why nobody believes them. And then they look into themselves and realize that they're just not telling the truth. That's why nobody believes them. If you're just out to have a good time in the dating world, I think that's wonderful. I think that's great, and I salute you. In fact, I take my hat off to you, because that's not an easy thing to do. Keep up with all those people and all those phone numbers and all those dates and all those names. It's a lot of work. You've got your work cut out for you. My hat is off to you, and I want to tell you that's fine. But if that's really what you're after, just to have a good time, you need to make sure there's truth in your conversation. Because nobody wants to be led down the path thinking that they're on another path. If you're leading someone down the garden path, as they say, that's just not right. Leading someone down a misleading path, pretending it's a different path, that's just not right. Don't say one thing and mean another. Have truth in your conversation. That's going to give you power. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt powerless? It seemed like everything you said just wasn't working out somehow. You felt powerless. Well, I'd be willing to bet that if you put yourself back in that situation right now, you'd realize that there was a part of you that wasn't being completely honest. And it can be something very simple, like not telling the person that you really can't stand them. Or maybe you were trying to deceive them, and you wondered why your conversation wasn't going smoothly. Why am I using all these techniques, but it's just not going right? Well, you weren't being honest, and you've got to make sure you're honest. So my advice to you, before you continue on in the dating world, is to just look inside and see what you want. What do you want? And you're going to find that there's power in truth. If you are just interested in having a sexual relationship with someone and you convey that to them, well, who knows, maybe they are too, or maybe they're not, but at least they'll know where you're coming from. One of the important things about dating is that you need to make sure that you're doing it at the right time in your life. Doing it right after a breakup can be great. You fell off a horse, you got back on another one. But you need to realize that you're going to be at a bit of a disadvantage if you're doing that. If you just came off of a 16-year marriage and you're out there trying to date, you're going to have a disadvantage because your heart is going to be hurt. That's just a reality. Nothing heals a broken heart or a wounded heart better than time and distance. So if there's someone that you were with, that you broke up with, maybe you need a little time. Maybe you need to polish up your expertise in conversational hypnosis and jump in the game a little later. You know, you can use conversational hypnosis to dig yourself a nice, deep ditch that you can't get out of if you're not careful. You can talk your way into anything with ultimate conversational hypnosis. You need to make sure that you're using this power the right way. If you're not ready for a relationship, why would you create one? Also, if you're not ready for a relationship, your heart knows it, and your conversation shows it. So if you need time, take time, work on your skills, read more books, listen to this program again, give yourself a little time, because I don't want to see you running out there and creating a situation that shouldn't be created. Give yourself time to heal between relationships. All right. Enough of this preaching, huh? What is it with Steve getting all preachy all of a sudden? You know, believe it or not, I was a preacher for the Church of Christ for 5 years. When I sound preachy, maybe it's the old days coming back. Yeah, from 1990 to 1995, I was a preacher. So forgive me if I get a little preachy every now and then. All right. Let's take a look at your choices. Let's take a look at who you choose. Who are you choosing when you go out in a dating situation? You know, a lot of times before people understand, and that is a word, by the way, a lot of times before people go out and get themselves into a dating situation, they have an idea of what they're worthy of. You know what I'm talking about. This is extremely prevalent in heterosexual females who like men. I've seen it over and over in my office, women making the wrong choice, choosing Mr. Right Now over Mr. Right, choosing a gentleman who talks a good game. Maybe they've had a conversational hypnosis course, not as good as this one, but who knows, maybe they've even had this one. They talk a good game. They're using their powers the wrong way. Choosing wrong people might be a pattern for you. Who are you choosing? Gentlemen, are you choosing the woman at the nightclub or at church or in the library or wherever that you think will be the easiest? You think she'll be easy prey? Well, that's not fair. It's not right. And that's not helping you. Tell me, honestly, do you feel good waking up next to someone that you settled for? You know it. They know it. You could have done, quote-unquote, better, although all people are equal, really. But you could have chosen someone more attractive, someone who you felt better with. Well, guess what? You're not fooling anyone. People pick up on this sort of thing. It shows through in your body language, in the way you treat them. You've just weakened your conversation with someone who you say you want to spend your life with, or at least the weekend, but you don't really want to be with. It was just the easiest person for you to get. Or maybe they had some money. Or maybe you felt guilty. Or there could be other reasons. Who knows? But you know if you're in a situation like that. You know if you always chase the person who's easy, easy prey, easy to get. Why have you been doing that? Well, I know why you've been doing that. It's because of lack of self-confidence. Later on in another module, I'm going to show you how to program yourself for confidence so you don't have to worry about this anymore. But for right now, just take a good, honest look and who you go after, what type of person. Do you really think that super attractive women or men are only interested in super attractive women or men? Do you think that? Haven't you seen couples that seem mismatched? A very attractive man with a not-so-attractive woman or vice versa? Sometimes there are same-sex relationships like that. Sure, you've seen it. And I'll tell you what. If there's true love And if they honestly love each other, there's nothing wrong with that. Who in their right mind could say there's anything wrong with that? It's beautiful and wonderful. But if one of them settled for the other, that's not right. If you're with someone, or if you consistently go after people because you feel that's all you're worthy of and you feel you could do better, you're not doing yourself any favors. And it's going to show in your interactions with them. With this program, you have the skills and you'll have the confidence to go after what you want. I want you to go for the gold every time. That doesn't mean going for the most attractive person. That's not what it means. It means going for the person who's best for you. Could be the wealthiest, could be the nicest person, could be the most attractive. Whatever it is, that's going to be the best for you, what you really want. I mean, imagine him or her now. Who do you really want to be with? Now, if you're in a committed relationship, I'm certainly not trying to stir the pot, but you may want to give this some thought. Are you really happy? Think about it. What's wrong with a little bit of honesty? Because guess what? That could be causing all of your fights. All the fights you're having could be because of that, because you made a bad choice. It happens. But how about a little honesty in your life, a little honesty in your interaction? And how about going for what you want from now on? If you want to drive a Lamborghini, but you're driving a beat-up Pinto, I don't know, I think of Pintos from the 80s, and I think the car had a few challenges. I don't want to get in trouble with the Pinto people if they still make those, but anyway, the point is, if you're not driving the car you want, why? If you can't afford it yet, fine. But maybe you can at least have a picture of it on your fridge and focus on it. Find a way to get it. Same with your house. Same with your spouse. Same with the people you date. Have an ideal image in your mind and work toward that. Use these tools to build something wonderful, to build a life that you are happy with. The way you do that is by being honest with yourself. Are you a guy who goes after women who are overweight? Why? If you like women who are overweight, that's fine. But if you're doing that just so you can have sex with them, how in the world are you helping anyone? You're destroying the self-esteem of the woman if you're leaving her right afterwards. You're lowering your self-esteem because you're with someone who you're not attracted to. Makes you feel worse about yourself. Ladies, same for you. Are you attracted to the bad boy that everyone says isn't good for you, but you're just not listening because they're so much fun, but you realize that they're not the right person for you, but you settle because in the past you didn't feel that you had the tools to create the life you want. No more excuses. I'm giving you the tools. Claim what you want using these tools. All right. What else do we need to know in a dating situation? What else can be powerful and helpful to know? Well, let's not overlook this fact. You need to be positive. You know, so many people in a dating situation or even a sales situation, and remember, all situations are essentially sales situations. You're selling something. Yourself, an idea, product, whatever it is. But in a dating situation, negativity does not work. Negativity can kill your chances before you even get anywhere at all. If you're talking about how this is bad and that's bad and oh, I just hate this and I hate that and oh, isn't the weather bad and so forth. Well, although you may think you're establishing rapport and just stating the obvious, what you're really doing is showing the person that you've got a negative attitude. Whininess goes along with this. People are not interested in people who whine, who complain about things. If you're out on a date, your conversation needs to be positive and non-whiny. If something happens, there's always a positive way to react to it. Let's talk about compliments. Compliments can be very powerful in a dating situation. giving someone a compliment, a genuine compliment, is a great way to start a conversation. And it's always good to interject a compliment here and there. You need to be careful that you don't overdo compliments. If you are giving out too many compliments, you're going to change the power dynamic. The power dynamic is a relative power situation between you and the person who you're talking to. You need to make sure that no matter who you're talking to, you treat them as an equal. They are not higher than you, nor are they lower than you. But when you give too many compliments, especially if you do it too quickly, you are creating a power dynamic in their minds, which is going to work against you. They're going to see you as lesser or lower or less valuable than them. So make sure that you use compliments, but use them sparingly. Things you can compliment. You can compliment someone's teeth. Your teeth are so white. It's amazing. It's like they're perfect. Someone's smile. Someone's tie. Someone's eyes. Someone's hair. Now beware of these types of compliments. And I hear these all the time in social situations. Fortunately, not directed at me usually, but sometimes they are. And I hear them a lot at parties, people giving other people compliments. If someone is unattractive, most people know it. They're simply not very attractive. And usually, it has very little to do with the way they look and a lot to do with their attitude, the way they present themselves. It's just not attractive. They're negative. They're whiny. They don't treat themselves appropriately in terms of hygiene or clothing. And they're just not attractive people. You've seen that. That is simply a reality. And someone goes up to that person and says, "My, you look lovely tonight. Such a lovely look you have." And you can tell while they're saying that, that they don't mean that. They're saying something to the person to kind of shock them. Wow, that person thinks I'm wonderful and amazing and looking beautiful. When in fact, everyone knows that they just said that to make that person feel that they've received a compliment to try to control that person. Yes, compliments, when used the right way, can be used to control people. Of course, that's what this whole program is about. Make no mistake. It is about controlling people. However, if you're doing it in such a blatantly inappropriate way as that, then it's just not going to work out right. You're going to seem like a person who's not genuine, who's not honest. Find something about them that you can actually compliment. "My, you're very smart. You're very witty." Whatever it is about them, you're left shoe looks good. Of course, you wouldn't say that, but you see what I'm saying. There's something, no matter who it is, or where they are, or what they're wearing or doing, there's something about them that you can compliment, that you can give a genuine, honest compliment about. Your job is to find that thing and deliver that compliment. So use compliments wisely and use them sparingly. All right, now as far as dating goes, there are all sorts of ways to use conversational hypnosis to start a conversation with a perfect stranger. Now you can use the tricks and the tactics and the techniques that I've taught you already, analog marking and so forth, but the idea is you have to talk to someone in the first place. Once you're in front of them and your mouth is moving, everything's fine. You can use all these techniques. But how do you get to that point? How do you find an opportunity with a perfect stranger to start a conversation? Are you just going to walk up to them and say, "Hello, let's talk"? Well, that might work. But here are some other ideas that might work a little better. If you want to approach a perfect stranger, it's better if they feel that you're not doing this with everyone. If you're standing on a street corner talking to every man or woman who walks by, that's not going to really have a good feel to it. The person sees you talking to the next person and the person before them and the person after that, and it's just not going to work very well. So I recommend approaching strangers very sparingly. And when you do, you should probably say something such as, I don't usually do this, or this is very unusual for me. Now, I know how people are, and I know they get this program, and they use it on everybody. Some people have told me they get this program, and they're going to use it on 50 people a day to try to get dates. And hey, that's fine if that's what you want to do. But at least you can give off the impression here it's a balancing act between telling the truth and being not genuine. But I guess you could say that you don't do it very often. Anyway, the people want to feel unique. They don't want to feel that you're talking to the next person and next person and next person, even if you are. So saying something like that to break the ice and to put them at ease, saying, I don't normally do this, but you're just so beautiful, I couldn't resist. I had to talk to you. They're probably not going to think that you're a player or a bad person or what have you, because, after all, you've told them that you don't normally do that. And hopefully on a normal day you don't do that. It's your day to go shopping for a mate. So that can be a great icebreaker. What about asking for directions or asking for help? Asking someone to help you can be a wonderful way to break the ice. It can also give you a little insight into them. Are they helpful? Are they the type of person you'd want to be with? Are they making eye contact? But once you are talking with them, then you can go ahead and use your conversational hypnosis tactics and win them over. But getting to the point where you're talking with them can be a bit of a challenge. So I wanted to give you those little icebreakers. Now, I don't recommend that you use silly pickup lines. If you have silly pickup lines, you probably need to get rid of them. Now, I say that with a caveat. If they work, they work. And that is true of anything. If your silly pickup lines work for you, by all means, keep them. But here are some that, in my opinion, just sound cheesy, if you will. Did it hurt? And the woman would say, did what hurt? When you fell from heaven. I have heard that line told to me by women so many times. They're not saying it to me as if I fell from heaven, but they're telling me that some guy said that to them. The guy says, did it hurt? And the woman says, did what hurt? The guy says, when you fell from heaven. That, in my opinion, is a cheesy pickup line. Do you come here often? Cheesy pickup line. What's your sign? Meaning, what's your zodiac sign? Cheesy pickup line. You've got to be aware of these lines and make sure that if you have used them in the past, unless they work, that you eliminate them. There are other ways to approach people, as I just mentioned, asking for directions and saying that you don't normally do this, because you want to avoid the appearance of having them on some sort of program, that they're on some sort of track, that they're on some sort of conveyor belt that leads to your bedroom. That's not the impression you want to give. Cheesy pickup lines give that impression from the get-go. From the first moment you open your mouth, you are labeled as some sort of pickup artist. And if you want to be an artist, you've got to know how the canvas works and how the paints work and how the brushes work. If you're using a stamp on a canvas, that's the equivalent of using a cheesy pickup line. You're just stamping the canvas with that cheesy pickup line. It could work. Anything will work if you try it on enough people, but I don't recommend it. That brings me to another point. When it comes to ultimate conversational hypnosis in dating, you need to, as I said a moment ago, make sure that you're getting in front of the person that you need to talk to. You need to make sure that you're in front of them and you're actually talking with them. That's going to give you a lot of mileage, because if there's no one to talk to, you're not going to create anything. The second point that I want to bring up about that is that dating is a numbers game. You have to have sufficient numbers in order to do well. you need to make sure that you have enough people to choose from. If you are in a dating situation and you only have 5 people to choose from and you strike out with all 5, well, now you have nobody. And you might think, well, I tried it with 5 people and those 5 people, my prospects, are gone now, and I guess this dating thing didn't work out for me. Your dating pool is limitless. Unless you're on some deserted island somewhere, your dating pool is limitless. It's only limited by your thinking. There are people everywhere that you could potentially date. They're all around you. They're all around the world. They're everywhere. You just need to open your eyes and open your mind and realize that if it doesn't work out with somebody, you go on to the next person. But you need to have the next person, the next person, the next person. You need to try different techniques with different people and keep moving forward, because sometimes you're going to run into people who are already in a relationship and it's not going to work out. Sometimes you're going to run into people who have a love that they're interested in, maybe, and then it grows while you're trying to get to know them over the course of a week or so. That happens. Sometimes you're going to approach someone who's not interested in the opposite sex, for example. You didn't know that when you approached them at a club. So all sorts of things could happen to interfere with your pool of people, your dating pool, the numbers from which you can choose. So you need to make sure that you have a limitless supply. Make sure that the next one is always coming available so that you can refine your techniques and you can keep on trying new things. So it is, as they say, a numbers game, and you need to continue to try. And every time you use this technology, you're going to get better at it. You're going to get better at it as long as you stay in the game. Keep on moving forward. Stay on the court. Keep playing ball. You don't stop just because you don't shoot a basket in the first quarter of a basketball game. No, you finish the game. You get in there. You play all 4 quarters. And I think you're going to find that by the end of the game, you will have scored a few times, scored a few baskets. So stay in there and realize, as with anything else in sales, and I do look at this as sales, you're selling yourself. As with anything else in sales, it is a numbers game. All right, let's talk a little bit about kissing. Now, hopefully in the date, you're following a progression. And before we talk about kissing, why don't we back up a little bit and talk about that progression? You need to make sure that things are moving along. If your goal is, let's be honest, if your goal is to sleep with that person, you need to make sure that you're making small progressive steps in that direction. If you think you're going to go spend the whole evening with someone, not even touching them or interacting with them physically at all, and then go sleep with them, you might be right, but you might be surprised to find out that you're quite wrong. It's better to slowly get in the hot tub rather than jump in a hot tub. So why not ease them into that? If that is your plan, to get them into your bedroom or to be in theirs or wherever else you might find yourself, then you will want to make sure you're doing that very slowly. And by the way, this information is only for adults. So if you're a person under the age of 18, stop listening now. The rest of this module anyway. Okay. So kissing happens as a sequence of events leading up to it. You could just lay one on someone, as they say. You could just kiss them out of the blue, and that can be seen as very romantic. But at least for those who are not exactly overly confident yet about dating, easing into it can be something that really helps you out quite a bit. How do we do that? Well, first step is holding hands. If you're looking at the person's body language as they're having a conversation with you that you don't even know about, they're using their body language to talk to you, use your body language to talk back. If it's a lady and she's carrying her purse on the opposite side of her body from where you are, that probably means she wants you to hold her hand. So you need to go ahead and do that. If it's a gentleman that you're walking with and he's got one hand in his pocket and the other one's not, and the one that's not is on your side, that probably means that that hand wants to hold your hand. Why not accidentally brush against it and see what happens? Brush against his hand with your hand, see what happens. Okay, so once you're holding hands, that's good. The next step would be, of course, kissing. How does kissing happen? Well, my advice is don't make it awkward. Just stop somewhere in your walk and look in the person's eyes. And whether you're a man or a woman or whatever the situation may be, you lean in about 90% of the way and let them lean in the rest of the way. So you lean in toward them, but do not make lip contact. Let them do their part. This is going to do a couple things. Number one, it's going to let you know if they're actually ready for that kiss. Number two, it's going to let them feel as though they contributed to it. They wanted to do it. You didn't just give them a sneak attack kiss. You presented an opportunity for them, and they took it. So they're starting to convince themselves now. I am interested in this person. After all, I kissed them. They're probably not thinking, well, they did 90% of the work and I did only 10. They're probably thinking, we kissed. Kissing can lead to more serious making out. And making out, of course, can lead to other things. Now, ladies, if you're with a gentleman and you're thinking about sleeping with that person on the first date, I recommend that you don't plan on a second date. Leading someone on a little bit can go a long way if you're a woman. If you just deny the sleeping together on the first date, you will probably find that you get a second date and hopefully a third date and so forth. At a certain point, it's either time to cook or get out of the kitchen. So at a certain point, they're going to call your bluff, and you're going to have to either take action or not. But sleeping together on the first date for ladies is not a great idea if you expect there to be more dates. If you don't, then that's fine. Gentlemen, the opposite is true. Sleeping together on the first date is probably a great idea because once women have intercourse, they feel more connected. You want to talk about ultimate conversational hypnosis. The conversation you'll have with your body language during intercourse is much more intense than any conversation that you will have while you are simply talking with them. All right. What about the concept of saying, I love you? Now, after intercourse, there can be a strong temptation to forget everything you've learned about conversational hypnosis or common sense or anything else and to say, I love you to the person. Now, if this is a person you've known for quite some time and you've grown into a loving, respectful relationship with them, then certainly there's nothing wrong with saying, I love you. But in this day and age, as they say, oftentimes intercourse happens after one date. Saying I love you at that point is not only risky, but it's ill-advised. It's not the best way to go, whether you are a man or a woman. It's universal. Saying I love you after intercourse is not a good idea. For men, it creates an interesting dynamic. You may think that you're saying it and causing the person to be more interested in you. Oh, if I say I love her, she'll be more interested in me, and I'll really have her now. This will be the best part of my conversational hypnosis because this is where I really lock her in and have her coming back for more. Well, let me explain something to you, gentlemen. If a woman has intercourse with you, she's probably already, to some degree, fallen in love, whether she wants to or not, because it's a natural part of the woman to just fall in love to some degree when they have intercourse. The exception to this, of course, would be a woman who's having intercourse with numerous men constantly and has somehow put up a wall in her mind, an emotional wall around her heart. So in either case, it's not going to do you any good to say, I love you. Either you're not going to need to say it because she, to some degree, whether she wants to or not, loves you already, or it doesn't matter because she's so hard-hearted that it's going to be a waste of your time and make you seem weak. Saying, I love you, is not part of conversational hypnosis after intercourse if you've only known the person a short period of time. After you've known them several months, then you can consider saying that. Same holds true for women. If you're sleeping with a man and you say, I love you, right afterwards, you can almost guarantee that you will not be getting the second date unless you've already known them for quite some time. If you have just met them within the past week and you're sleeping with them and you're saying, I love you, you're going to scare that man. You're going to make him want to run away. So that is not part of conversational hypnosis. Whether you're a man or a woman, saying, I love you, if you've only known the person for a week or even a few weeks, is not a good idea. That's not the way to go. So I recommend that you avoid that at all costs. The idea that I want to get across is that you are standing your ground. You are firm in who you are. Something just happened. You got the result that you wanted. If that was the result you were after, you got it. Accept it. Be okay with it. Realize that if you are just calm and cool now, and you don't start jumping up and down and doing cartwheels and throwing confetti, if you just relax and you're calm, you're going to have the result you want, which will be the second date. Now, if you don't want the second date, if you're done with this person, then by all means, break the rules and end the quote-unquote relationship, and that will be just fine. All right, so hope that has helped you, and I hope that you take that into consideration when you're there in that moment. Let's talk about using conversational hypnosis now to end the situation. Some people, whether I approve of it or not, just want to use conversational hypnosis to have random sexual experience after random sexual experience. I cannot stop that. What I will say is that you may find yourself in a situation in which you need to end a relationship. Especially if you have a few going on, you're going to need to trim that amount down at some point. Or perhaps you have slept with someone and realize that's not the person for you, and you want to sever the ties and move on to the next person. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to give you the information. The way you would do that is by being very honest in your conversation. Your conversational hypnosis powers and your good looks and your charm and so forth, stuff that you bring naturally to the table, has gotten you this far. But as I said before, you can dig yourself a deep ditch with conversational hypnosis, and it can be hard to get out of that ditch. At this point, if you find that you have slept with someone, or you have almost slept with someone, or you have someone interested in you, and you decide that you're not interested in them anymore, in my opinion, honesty is the only policy. You need to simply tell them that you are not interested in them. You need to go ahead and risk that slap in the face, whether physically or verbally, because you have changed your mind, or perhaps it was your plan all along, in which case you probably deserve a slap in the face. But whatever the case may be, you, if you have a change of heart, or if that has been your plan all along and it's time to end that, you need to simply be honest. I am done with this relationship, and then no further contact. That's it. It's over. No further contact. That means no calls, no emails, no texting, nothing. It's simply over. It's done. Now, if you do all that and then you find you can't live without the person, then maybe you need to search your soul and your heart a little more. Maybe there's a deeper connection than you thought there was. But the way that you undo what you've done with your conversational hypnosis powers and your good looks and your charm is to be honest and direct. Just tell the person, I'm sorry, but it's over. Or you can say you've met someone else. I don't recommend lying, but perhaps you have met somebody else. Honesty is going to save you. Maybe you realize you're not ready for dating yet, or you're just not interested in that person. There's no need to be cruel. Maybe your real reason is they snore, and you just can't stand that. You don't need to point that out. You don't need to make them wrong. You just need to say, I'm sorry. I'm just not up for this. This isn't working for me, and I'm going to move on. I respect you as a person, and I really wish no further contact. So laying it on the line, saying it like it is, that's the way to undo it. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this information about dating and how you can both get yourself into and out of a situation. Exit strategies can be very beneficial. I certainly wouldn't want to hand you a shovel and say, dig a deep hole, and then not have you know how to get out of it if you didn't want to be in it. I've just dropped the ladder down and shown you how to climb out of the hole that you dug. So enjoy digging. Happy digging to you. You've got a shiny new shovel. You've got some techniques that you've already learned. You've got some information now about the dating world, information that perhaps you didn't have before. Perhaps you maybe suspected certain things were true, but you didn't really know. Now you know. Now you know how the dating world works. So go out there, have fun with it, and be willing to make mistakes. And by the way, that's your only homework, to go out there and have fun with it. And I'm not going to quiz you on any of this information. I just want it to be part of you. I think that you've heard the words that I've said. I haven't given you any technical information in these modules about dating. I've just told you the way it is. So just accept that. Make it part of you. If you need to listen to it again, feel free. Your homework is just to go out there and have some fun dating. Keep everything I said in mind. Look good, feel good, and be good, and have fun. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.